some of your comments coming in so far. Great to have Claudia back on the air, a woman who can back up her opinions that will go a long way. I wish her well in her political career. We need more politicians like her. Great conviction and talks a lot of sense. Another teacher who will become a politician who will forget the people when there's a big pension to be had, says another. Sinn Féin's taken over from Fianna Fáil as the big party. The big party is over for that teacher. She has to put her hands up, says a caller. And last one for now, the majority of people are back to work, Greg. Back to work being back on schemes, getting paid €20 a week. Well, I was trying to play devil's advocate against Claudia's opinion, but I do appreciate exactly what you're saying. Right, we are now discussing the voting age. Joined in studio, I'm delighted to say, by Martin Keeney, Donegal Youth Council Coordinator at the Donegal Youth Service, alongside Niall Hannigan from Letterkenny, representing Cláiste Aille on the Donegal Youth Council, and Emma Rose Callaghan from Burt from Scullamore in Buncrana. All of you very welcome into studio.
Thank you very much.
Thanks indeed. We'll come to you two guys first. But Martin, no harm just running through really the work the Donegal Youth Council has done. There's absolutely no doubt that the Donegal Youth Council must be leading the way as it relates to youth involvement in local democracy. Is that going too far, do you think?
I wouldn't disagree, I suppose, you know, but I mean, we've had a really, really, I suppose been in post now as a council, youth council coordinator since about February 2013. And I mean, it's been a fantastic experience in terms of that. And I think the youth council continues. I mean, we've had a youth council who just come to the end of their term. They're just only very recently, and I mean, they were a fantastic group of young people. I mean, they put in an incredible amount of application, and plenty of incredible amount of hours as well. And I mean, and completed some really interesting and projects. Even
how does that work in terms of them getting together? I know it's not so long ago since you had your major meeting, sort of outlining priorities and policy for the coming term. But how often do the youth councillors meet, and how's that coordinated? Because obviously it's right across the county.
It's right across the county. So, I mean, we even have a new model in place now for the new youth council. But what normally, they're supposed to give people an idea, it's a little bit like the shadow, it's like a shadow of the county council in a way, in that what happens is the young people would come together at the there's 36 young people from right across the county on the youth council. So they would sit and they meet monthly, if you like, to, you know, so they have their monthly county meeting, and then they have their regional meetings, similar to the municipality meetings now, as it'll be known, given the new structures. And then they also, but then they would also sit on a number of subgroups and a number of, and depending on what projects are developing, and they would also be obviously the youth voice on a range of different committees.
And it's been embraced by the senior council, hasn't it? Because that's essential, otherwise it would
it's
just be
vital. And I mean, we have actually enjoyed a lot of support, which is, you know, I suppose is a big from my own end. That's one of the areas I was kind of keen to push and keen to develop. And I mean, even from the Cathaoirleach, current Cathaoirleach, John Campbell, right down at the minute. I mean, we have a lot of them have bought into a lot of the council has been very good. They've put money, you know, and behind us in terms of, and behind the projects of the young people. You know, the likes of the Sparks Roadshow would have been a big example of that last year, whereby we had to actually go to the council and seek, you know, considerable amount of funding to make that whole particular process happen, because it was a huge, ambitious project, you know. And that was putting the faith in the actual ideas of that the young people developed themselves, and then rolling that out across the county and that side of things. And that's the big part. And then I suppose it's been there too in terms of the events that they've ran, and also that we, you know, even around the election time, we would have run some pre-election events and run with that. And
there was a debate, wasn't there? So they
ran events around that, and even at a recent agenda day again, a number of them turned out, and we're keen to hear, and they wanted to keep that relationship there on the innocent level of importance, you know. So that's good, and that's encouraging, obviously, too, for the young people involved, because obviously if they don't feel that connection, then it's kind of pointless too, that level, you know.
Emma Rose Callaghan, why did you decide to get involved with the Youth Council, and good morning to you.
Good morning. I decided to get involved in the Youth Council because I heard about it through school, and I heard of all the work that the Youth Council were doing, and it's basically there to have a voice and be a voice for the teenagers of Donegal.
And do you feel, up until recently, that voice wasn't there? Did you feel like it was just a group of older people making decisions that best suited themselves?
I think the voice was always there, but the thing is, it just wasn't projected. So I just found it really interesting, the work that the Donegal Youth Council do and what they go through and everything to do with it. So I just thought I'd love to be a part of it because I love making people feel good about themselves and helping younger people and helping teenagers and our peers. And I just really, I decided to take part and go for it.
And would you follow politics? Would you watch the news? Generally speaking, do you have an interest in politics? Or is this just at this time in your life, you're focusing on issues that relate to you and your peers? And as you say, you want to project those.
I'd say I'd focus more on, the youth and the issues within the youth. Mm-hmm. And I would be into, watching the news or whatever, but not as big as what is happening now in Donegal with teenagers and just how to help and to progress in different things.
Niall Hannigan from Letterkenny, your motivation for getting involved along the same lines of Emma Rose? Or?
Yeah, well, definitely. I heard about it through, I was talking to different youth councillors that were on it in the past years, a representative from Loretto Convent and also from my own school, Molly McGinty. And it kind of really showed what they had achieved. And I wanted to be part of that as well and to help young people kind of have a bit of self-confidence in themselves, but also to be able to voice their views and be able to do something about it. So.
And what is the attitude amongst your peer group, your friends? Do they, poke a bit of fun at you, or are they saying, listen guys, I love what you're doing, can you represent this point of view for me? I suppose there's a mix, is there?
I think there's a mix anyway, because in my school, there was some people that, nah, no way, I'm going for that. And then there was people that were like, yeah, I'd really be interested in kind of making a difference and kind of and going for it. And there were a few very motivated people in my school that went for it. And but I don't think there's no kind of conflict between them, saying, oh, well, why are you going for that?
Yeah.
They're kind of supportive of you and they know what you're doing and they know that it's going to help them in the future anyway. So.
And did you just go through an election process? There's other people stood against you and you had to campaign and it was the same as an election, but on a sort of smaller scale.
Yeah.
How did you find that?
It was interesting.
I'd say so,
It was good,
Because it takes a lot of guts to put yourself out there, doesn't it? Because, you're being judged by your
especially peers. Around school and everything and being with your peers. And it is quite difficult when you are a teenager in school and trying to, get out of the box and stand out there. But I enjoyed it.
Great for confidence, too.
It's great for confidence.
Yeah.
It is.
So do you have a specific issue, either of you, that, is particularly close to your heart? For you first, Emma Rose?
I would focus more on mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I think mental health is really important with teenagers, especially teenagers as they're growing up and becoming into adults. I think it's mostly to do with confidence as well and just feeling good about yourself and the whole general thing of mental health and feeling good.
Because there's an awful lot of pressure being a teenager, isn't there?
Yeah. I agree with Emma Rose there, but we had the agenda day and there was kind of different categories and everyone kind of split up into the categories they were passionate about.
And yours was what, sorry?
I ended up in sport, in the sport category. And basically what our group kind of came up with was the lack of funding in schools and sports, and we kind of found out that across the county there were people that weren't getting the opportunities to play the sports that they wanted to. Some schools might have, right, only these amount of people are allowed to play this sport, or only girls are allowed to play basketball, or boys are only allowed to play Gaelic. And there was kind of a bit of people wanted to play whatever sport they wanted to, and then as well as maybe not having the right gear or not having enough gear. And that would kind of come down to not having the amount of facilities or the funding.
And, the two of them are perfectly connected too, in a way, because, active body can lead to a healthy mind. So, it's a rounded approach, really, that we need to it.
Mm-hmm.
What age are you guys? Sorry, you, sir?
I'm 17.
I'm 15.
15.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, too, about the voting age, because, what's happening at the moment is, particularly Highland Radio's guilty of this, too, young people moaning about them all the time. If there's any problems with driving, anything like that, we stick it on the youth. We sit here and we talk about social media and we talk about everything, but we're not asking you guys what you think or what's affecting you. We're just a group of grumpy old men and women talking about it. So, you won't get a chance to have your say till next year when you're 18.
Yeah.
It's going to be 3 years for you. I want to talk about the voting age. Would you be in favour, you first, Emma Rose, of the voting age in general elections being reduced?
Yeah, I would.
Down to?
Down to 16, yeah.
You'd be an old hand at it at this stage if you were 16. but why do you think that's important?
I think that teenagers today and young people are becoming more involved mm-hmm. and more aware of the politics and what's happening around them. Like, for example, it's all to do with social media, and social media is constantly growing, and young people are more in with social media, mm-hmm. and I think it's just they are maturing, and young they are very mature young people out there, and I think young people are well and able and capable to have a vote.
I'm not going to ask you to answer this. I'm not going to ask you to give me your name, but if there was an election now and you had a vote, do you know who you would vote for now and why?
Yes, I would, yeah.
Okay. And you're happy, would you want to see it come down to 16 too now?
No, I'm happy enough for it to stay at 18.
Are you?
Yeah. I feel that, you know, I do take on board that there are some very mature people in the kind that kind of do follow politics, but I feel that there's kind of more on people's plates when they're, you know, when they're in their teens. That kind of, that's enough for them. You know, they don't need to be thinking about voting and who they're going to vote for and how that's going to change their lives. But I feel that 18 is kind of like a natural progression that, you know, they're probably leaving home, they're going into college, and they need to kind of live their lives for themselves. And they know that these decisions are going to affect them in the future.
But wouldn't it be nice, Niall, to have some influence over who's going to make a decision as it relates to third level grants or student accommodation? I mean, that would be a positive for voting from 16, wouldn't it? Because you could sort of maybe at least feel you're influencing that on some level.
Yeah, it definitely would. But I feel that that people my age, that some of the people that I would know that kind of don't really follow it mm-hmm. wouldn't know what's kind of going on, or some people might not even be thinking about third level yet.
So is there a danger that you could have lots and lots of people just voting a certain way because they're told to, and it could maybe screw up the whole democratic system because not everyone is voting for the right
reasons?
That's
what I feel, that kind of there might be a lot of wasted votes as well because people might not know and might just not vote.
But, okay, Emma Rose, take him out. Why is he wrong? I mean, he makes a good point, though. I mean,
yeah,
you know, maybe you don't need that weight on your shoulders at that age.
Yeah, that is a good way of looking at it because exams and stuff, and being a teenager, there is a lot of stresses and a lot of things to carry along with you. But
I suppose the choice is there then. So, you know, some people will take on that responsibility and others won't. But there doesn't seem to be a big move towards that. Martin, but taking you back in here, I mean, what would you work with the senior council, you work with the youth council. Do you think the voting age should be reduced yourself?
Personally, I think, yeah. I would agree. I think that, I suppose it comes down to really, I suppose I think it's more a case of, you know, why not rather than why. And I suppose out of a number of reasons for that, but I think it's particularly even at 16, I think you can do a lot of things. You can, you know, you can leave home, you know, if you can leave school if you like, you know, with consent and that side of things, you can do, and you might end up in working, and you might end up paying taxes, and you might end up doing things like that anyway at that age. But I think even it comes down to a little bit what Emma Rose maybe is saying around the fact that, you know, I think there are a lot of young people out there who are. I suppose more engaged and more, but I also think that lowering the voting age would actually probably offer a different actually vision on politics. And I think even I think it comes from more the fact that if the younger you could engage young people in a political process, and if they were actually even before they were leaving school at 16 that they were learning about voting, and they were the school started to actually maybe put that even bit more input. There's already the likes of the civic participation in those programs there. They're not always carried out to the best of that they should be, and they're not always allocated the time that they should be within schools, and that's another debate. But in terms of the ability for the schools to maybe educate more and get them engaged and get them involved in process.
Well, we need a more representative, don't we? Because I beg your pardon, Martin. It's like the issue of women in politics. You know, we have predominantly Emma's smiling, Emma Rose smiling here. But what I'm saying is, you know, we've got predominantly older men making decisions for a 50-50 population containing many young people. I mean, is that something that you have an opinion on, Emma Rose?
I would think that bringing more younger generation into the likes of politics, I think it would give a more varied look on things and how things are going to happen, and especially with voting, when there's a younger mind thrown in there, then it's very diverse
and it's more balanced and more representative. Excellent, guys. Listen, no regrets about entering the youth council at this stage, no?
Definitely not.
A caller says I was on the previous youth council and it was the best thing I've ever been involved in. Marty's a great coordinator and I'd like to wish the new youth council the best of luck in the next 2 years. And there's a few more there which I'll get to after I proofread them. Listen, guys, thanks for coming in. Did rob you of your lie-in, no?
No, you didn't.
But you said Tuesday off, don't you?
Yeah, we do.
So that's one positive anyway. Listen, it's been fantastic having you in. I think the future's in safe hands with yous guys because yous are fantastic and great speakers. And I don't mean that in at all patronising, I mean it genuinely. Niall Hannigan from Letterkenny and Emma Rose Callaghan from Burt. Thank you both so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And also you, of course, Marty Keeney, who facilitates all of this. It's been fantastic having you in and coming in on Saturday. Thanks, guys.
No problem.
All right, we're back with more after this.
Caffe, our new cocktail and wine bar, Dunfanaghy, overlooking beautiful Sheephaven Bay. The ideal venue for your hen or stag party and wedding breakfast. Caffe, our new Dunfanaghy, sponsors of the Weekend Edition.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the Weekend Edition here in Highland with me, Greg Hughes. Texter says, if memory serves me right, didn't Fianna Fáil do a U-turn on the medical card when the elderly got on the streets? I don't support any parties, but it annoys me when Fianna Fáil take the high ground. Hi, Greg. Could you please tell me the deadline for registering for water charges and do you have to submit PPS numbers? No, PPS numbers are not required any longer. And I believe the last date for registration is, I heard February mentioned, isn't it? We had that question last week and I will check that out. But look, if you are intending to register, you might as well get it over and done with, if that is your will, of course. It's health that the government needs to sort out. I'm out of work since January. I agree with Claudia. Yous give her a hard time. It's not Fianna Fáil promptly. It's Fine Gael about other countries. They're all the same, right? I get the first part of that. And Claudia's well capable to take anything I can throw at her, I think. The vast majority of people that you see in papers for drink driving offences are not children. It's most of the adult people who should know better. Time to give the youth of today a break. I agree with you 100%, caller. And just chatting to Marty there off air. Hopefully we can make that slightly more regular an occasion to get members of the Youth Council in, fantastic speakers, and they know what they're talking about. Is Ireland ready for a new political party or a political movement, asks a caller. I'd argue that the water rates mobilisation is a political movement. I presume this caller is talking about something slightly more coordinated, perhaps, or not more coordinated, but more broader issued, if you understand what I'm saying. All right, did you know that the Carndonagh Drama Group is celebrating its 60th anniversary this year? And I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Margaret O'Kane from that group on the programme now. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, Greg.
It's delightful to speak to you. You've been involved for the vast majority of those 60 years, haven't you?
I have been involved for a very long time, Greg.
You're not going to say, are you?
Excuse me if I'm hoarse because we had our first night last night. So
you sound great. There's a special production that's been put together, isn't there, that's running at the moment, as you've just mentioned?
Yes, Many Young Men of 20, John B. Keane, but it is our centenary celebration. The hall is 100 years old this year.
This is the Colgan Hall we're talking about.
The Colgan Hall, yeah. Carndonagh. And it has been there all our lives, and a wonderful community centre. But it got very run down, you know, in the 70s, in that era. Mm. And now we have it restored and added to, and we were delighted to celebrate the centenary year this year. So we've been doing different, concerts and plays and all kinds of events.
And why did you get involved initially with the Carndonagh Drama Group, Margaret?
I got involved because we were fascinated when we were growing up. There were plays in the hall, and there were, at that stage, films being shown in the hall, the pictures, as we called it, and all those things just fascinated me.
And this was the easiest and handiest way to try and, I suppose, emulate the stars of the silver screen.
I would say so, and the local stars were equally famous to us growing up, you know, and it was great fun. And to this day, that is the only thing that I want out of amateur drama, is to have some fun and put on the best show you can.
Now, you have produced and directed, if I'm correct, the Many Young Men of 20, haven't you?
I have indeed.
And how long have you been producing and directing as opposed to acting?
Since the 80s.
Mm-hmm. And was that a difficult transition to make? Or?
No, I must say I loved it. I loved the acting and still, you know, continued doing the odd smaller part. But I did really love the directing more than anything. So I'm hoping now to pass that over to a fellow called Ambrose McCrane, who's going to do a play next year.
Well, you know what happens with these things, though, Margaret. You try and get away and they drag you back in, don't they?
They sure do. That has happened on many an occasion, Greg.
That's just what happens. You get someone's go, that's good. You don't let them go.
But I have his word, so I can prompt or sweep the floor or do any of those things, so long as it continues.
Tell us about Many Young Men of 20. Tell us about the play.
Well, Many Young Men of 20 is really quite an odd play, because it's a play with music. Mm-hmm. That's the way John B. Keane described it. So I thought the only music that was in it, really, a friend of mine called Joe Masters, and he was very, very well known in Tubbercurry in amateur drama circles. Joe sent me this play in the 80s, and I read it then and thought, no, I don't really get it. So I read it there last year and I thought, well, you know what, I get it now. It's a play about emigration. Mm-hmm. And it is so relevant now.
Of course, particularly in Inishowen.
Particularly in Inishowen and in all over Donegal. So it is about, it's set in a pub, which we in Inishowen are quite familiar with.
I can assure you, in the south of the county, we have quite a familiarity as well.
It's kind of an Irish thing.
I think
Greg,
it is, you know. We can't be too parochial on that. We all have a hand in it. But anyway.
So it's set in a pub, and it's to do with, like, the pub is beside a railway station, which in the 1960s early took people to the boat for England.
Mm. And there's two things here, too, you know, I think, because obviously emigration is sadly very relevant at the moment, but also to the fact that this is set in the pub. I wonder, would a play in 30, 40 years' time be set in the pub in our time, if you know what I'm saying, in that what the pub used to be just isn't quite what it is now?
Oh, I agree with you, Greg, because, you know, the life of the pub seems to be just slowly ebbing away, doesn't it?
It's just switched to a different type of thing, hasn't it? It's like the old stores, you know, where you'd go in and get your supplies, but it was part of a day out almost, that you'd go in and you'd have the massive conversation, and
yeah,
that's lost a little bit. And I think we've lost a little bit of the tradition of the pub too.
Well, this play is very much set in that tradition, you know, when you have the usual kind of bar fly that's in all the time. And
hello!
Hello, Greg.
Oh, Margaret, you're welcome in. I could get a role in this yet. But how would you describe, because it's a very sensitive subject, is it tackled with humour? Is it dramatic? How would you describe it, Margaret?
It's tackled with kind of, certainly John B. Keane always has an amount of humour, but it's tackled, there's a great deal of sadness.
Yes.
You know, there's moments of sadness, in the middle of the sadness you get a laugh, and in the middle of that you get a song in this particular play, and a bit of dancing. You know, it's as if you were, it reminds me of the 60s when you would have been in a pub.
Yeah.
And yet all those different kind of sentiments and emotions. And
that's where it was played out.
That's the way it's played out.
And last night went well for you, did it, Margaret?
We had a great audience last night. They picked up on everything, and it was a pleasure. It wasn't a full house, but it was a good house.
Brilliant.
So we're looking forward to tomorrow night. And we expect a big crowd tomorrow night.
So there's one more performance, is that correct, Sunday night?
Tomorrow night, Sunday night, the 30th, and the following Sunday night, the 7th.
And what time does the curtain go up?
Curtain goes up at 8:30 sharp.
8:30. Well, I think anyone who's looking for a night of entertainment would be well advised to go along and join the 60th anniversary celebrations of the Carn Donagh Drama Group, but also that 100th year, the centenary effectively of the Colgan Hall, because there's so much history in that hall, isn't there?
Oh, it's a marvellous hall. I love the Colgan Hall and I've grown up with it and lived through it, the good times and the bad.
Okay. Margaret, enjoy producing and directing this play and enjoy doing it again next year despite your rest.
Not next year, Greg.
I'll be speaking to you next year. No, I'm only messing, I know. Margaret, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Best of luck to all the cast involved. It takes so many people to put something on like this, and hopefully everyone can get out and support it tomorrow night and then Sunday week.
Greg, thank you so much.
Bye, Margaret. Best
All
of luck.
The best.
Okay,
bye-bye.
That's the absolutely lovely Margaret O'Kane there from the Carn Donagh Drama Group. Many Young Men of 20, the John B. King play, running tomorrow night from 8:30, and then the 7th, 8:30 again. 086 77 00 555 is the text line for the weekend edition here on Highland Radio. 074 91 25,000. If you wish to call us, you're very welcome back. Shona Chambers, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good, and I hope you are too. And you are of JCI Donegal. What is that?
JCI is a membership-based organisation of over 200,000 young people in 5,000 communities worldwide. So we would have four areas of opportunity. We'd have individual, international, business and community.
Uh-huh.
So we spotted the Jacket Off Your Back campaign on Twitter earlier in the week, and we thought that this would be something that we would like to bring to Donegal and raise awareness to help homeless people in Ireland.
So what is the Jacket Off Your Back campaign? It originated in Carlow, didn't it?
It did indeed. It's a very new project that was started by Kevin Kelly and his wife, Sue, and their friend, Emily Devereaux. So the aim is to keep homeless people warm this winter, and the priority is on homeless people in Ireland, and then they're hoping to then move on to helping Syrian refugee camps, and in particular kids in the Syrian refugee camps. So they have been collecting old coats, new coats, and they'll start handing them out this week with Homeless Action in Tala in Dublin.
It's a good idea, because I don't have a massive wardrobe and never had really, but I think at the back there's two or three jackets that are in good condition that simply I won't wear again for one reason or another.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people would be in the same boat.
Well, the morning that I spotted the tweet, I actually had three coats sitting beside my front door, and I thought I need to find a home for those. So I saw this tweet on, it was Tuesday or Wednesday, and I thought this is something that most people would be able to help, especially coming up to Christmas. A lot of people don't have extra cash, but everyone, regardless of their economic circumstances, would be able to contribute to.
Are you hoping to distribute any jackets you may be able to get in Donegal, Shona, or are you going to feed it into the national?
I'm going to feed it. We're hoping to feed it in to Kevin and talk to him a bit more. I was talking to Kevin during the week. So at the moment, they're looking for drop-off points in Letterkenny.
Mm-hmm.
So John McColgan Financial Services, where I work in Letterkenny, is a drop-off point, and Green's Shoes have also kindly offered their premises in the Market Square as a drop-off point. So we're going to coordinate with Kevin and Sue, and we'll work it from there.
Brilliant. And understandably, we're looking for clean coats without rips or tears. You'd want the zips and buttons to be intact.
Exactly. Kevin said that they're looking for the kind of coats that you would be happy to wear yourself.
Yeah.
We just want to pass them on to other people.
Okay. And how can people get more information, Shona? Is the information on the JCI website?
We actually haven't updated our
no
website
problem.
But if you go on to www.jacketoffyourback.com, there's information of all the different drop-off points throughout the country. So even if you're not in Donegal, there are drop-off points nationwide at this point, and everybody can help that way.
And fair play for getting involved, Shona.
Thanks so
for
much.
Coming on with us. It's
that
been a
great
pleasure. And maybe we'll chat a bit more in a bit more detail about JCI Donegal down the road. But thanks for chatting to us in the meantime.
That is great. Thank you for
Bye.
Having me. All the best.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. Now, tomorrow night, it's the Cheerios Childline Concert, raising money in aid of Childline Ireland. Nicky Byrne is the host. Artists performing include Boyzone, Ollie Murs, McBusted, Shane Filan, Jedward Hometown and the Northwest Zone, Ryan Dolan. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Fantastic. Great to chat to you. We'll talk about the concert in a moment, but first about you and your career. For some, the Eurovision can be, you know, it can be a bittersweet experience, but you've gone from strength to strength, haven't you?
Yeah, well, like I always said, the Eurovision was a great experience for me. It really got me out there and just got me gigging all around Europe. So, you know, the outcome, I suppose, at the end of it wasn't what I wanted, like, but, you know, it definitely was a great experience for me.
And a superb platform, as you say, to get your work out there. But now you're able to put your own music out, your own style out, which must be liberating.
Yeah, it's great. It's like, it's really given me the opportunity to sort of build a sort of really loyal fan base, and, you know, I can write my own songs and put them out there, and, you know, I get a lot of support from them. So
now, you were approached to do the Cheerios Childline concert. This is a huge gig, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a massive gig for me. It's probably, I'd say it's probably the sort of second biggest gig after the Eurovision for me. Like, I've always wanted to play in the O2 arena, what's the Three arena now, that's going to be a great gig, like, and as you say yourself, there's a great lineup at it, so I'm really looking forward to it.
And a huge crowd as well of adoring fans.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
So what's the path laid out for you now, Ryan? How do you see things going for your career into the future?
Well, I'm just going to keep on writing and putting out new music. Working on a new album at the moment. And I've actually submitted another song for the Eurovision this year.
Okay.
So, you know, I'd love to do that again. It's the 60th anniversary, and it's going to be in Vienna. So it would be great to get to do it again.
And that, of course, would be you performing it. It's you haven't submitted as a songwriter as such.
No, that'd be me performing it. Yeah.
So a part of you thinks that, you know, you could do much better the next time out.
Yeah, I'd love to get a chance to sort of try it again, probably for that reason as well.
Is it, though, not sort of a hiding to nothing with the way the scoring system goes? Because your song was brilliant, but people, despite what they've tried to do to try and, you know, eliminate block voting, it's not necessarily the best song that wins, and it must be a bit frustrating for you.
I suppose it is frustrating for me, I suppose, for a lot of other countries. Like, you know, to be honest, I don't think Ireland or the UK is going to want it again. But at the same time, it's a sort of taking part of it that counts as well. Like, and you're sort of getting your song out there in front of, like, a worldwide audience.
Well, if you get to Vienna and you need a PR guy, Ryan, you know my number.
Oh, definitely.
I wouldn't mind a trip out. It sounds fantastic. But look, best of luck tomorrow night. The Childline concert's a huge event, fantastic lineup, and it's fantastic to see one of our own, as I say, a local guy, right in the mix there and doing so well, Ryan. So we wanted to check in with you, and it's been a pleasure.
Oh, thanks very much, Greg. Good
All right, Ryan, take care of yourself. Ryan Dolan there, who will be performing alongside Boyzone, Ollie Murs, McBusted, Shane Filan, Jedward. Hometown, that's Louis Walsh's latest enterprise, isn't it? I think there's about 60 of them. And Freshery and Xena as well, and all in aid of Childline. And I think it's televised. I'm not sure if they do it live or deferred. I don't have that information in front of me. PJ McMonagle of the Donegal IFA. Good morning, PJ.
Good morning, Greg.
Very briefly, very important message to get out there for farmers, but also for animal owners who maybe just need that little reminder, and that is the danger dogs compose to sheep. The IFA are highlighting that again.
Well, it's that time of year when ewes are heavy on lamb, Greg, and you know, a lot of people put out their pet at night and think the wee dog's sitting there to the morning, but he goes out and he joins his friend down the road, you know, and a lot of people think maybe they're only playing with the sheep and the field, but they're putting them under serious stress, and they end up maybe losing lambs, or worse than that, they tackle the sheep and they're taking lumps out of them, you know, and that's a farmer's livelihood that's gone down the drain. Not so bad enough the ones he has killed, but the ones he has maimed and stressed, you know, they will never be the same again, and his whole income maybe for that year's gone.
I beg your pardon, PJ. It can be costly for the farmer, but costly also for the dog owner.
Well, at the end of the day, if that dog's registered to say you, Greg, I can go back to you, and you'll have to cover the cost of the dead sheep and the maimed sheep, and it could cost an absolute fortune. Mm. And what I'd be saying to homeowners is, you know, make sure you know where your dog is at all times. close them in at night. Don't be letting them out at 6 o'clock in the morning. A lot of this happens early in the morning, you know, when it gets clear. Don't be letting them out for a wee run in the morning before you go to work. Maybe he's away for an hour and a half. When you go to go, he's at the back door again. He's been maybe away and back. So, you know, be aware where your dog is. And I suppose, you know, if the dog is caught, you know, the farmer has, if he gets him in the field, he may shoot him. And that could be the your so-called wee pet that you think is doing no harm. But once that dog is caught, you will be held responsible.
Okay, PJ Monagle, thank you very much.
No bother, Greg.